secret to getting yourself to walk dimensionally is walking, and that's why we call it dimension walking. And it's not so much, this is a trade secret, this is not to be given out, but under the effects that I've told you so far to do, the non-thought, the relaxing, the thinking of the childhood state of mind, taking in the environment, if you start to walk, one of the things that I want you to focus on, and this is about the pace you're going to walk, okay, is you want to take in the rhythm of the feet, the sound of the scraping of your foot hitting the ground. So, when you are walking, it is the rhythm of your feet scraping the ground that sends you immediately into an altered state of consciousness. If you just think of the feet moving, but you do none of the other stuff that I just said, forget it. It's not going to work. It's a recipe. It's a whole intricate state of mind. By putting yourself into a relaxed state, by breathing a certain way, by feeling or invoking thought in a way, by feeling the temperature of the air, by feeling the sun on your face, to by experiencing the environment and the air, take your time. Don't rush. You guys are all young. You're going to be impatient. You're going to rush, and nothing's going to happen. Spend a half hour working your way up to this. Don't rush it. Let yourself, and it's going to be hard to relearn that state of consciousness, especially from your childhood, because you've already begun to forget it. It's like a secret place in your mind. But you start to move, and you listen to the rhythms of the feet hitting the ground, and just walk a good distance. Let it. It's kind of like a metronome. A metronome has a very particular effect for hypnosis, okay, or for relaxing you and putting you into a deeper state of consciousness. In either case, I'll give you a small example. It's very certain special human beings that are capable of doing this. But the point is that if you cannot think about what you are doing, do not analyze yourself. Do not do all the analyzing when you're done. Just kind of move and observe. If you see a dimensional door, don't go, oh my God, there's a dimensional door. It's going to be gone. It's going to collapse. All this consciousness that you've built. Okay? Do not give anything specific awareness. The moment you give it specific awareness, you fall right back down to a normal train of thought. Okay? It's the machine who has to look at something and tell you what it is. You see a dog, you brain says, dog. You see a human being, you say, oh, there's a person over there. It's like you can't shut up. It has to identify everything to you. Okay? Ignore all that. Just kind of move and experience. When you can go into the state of consciousness with the right momentum, the right pace, it's kind of like everybody's driving a car. This is one of my greatest, I love this example. You're driving a car, and you're doing 85 miles per hour, and everybody else is doing 85 miles per hour, and you can see the trees, and you can see the mountains, and you can see everything else. And then all of a sudden, after 12 hours of driving, you know, you go across the country, and you're looking at the beauty of these rivers and the bridges and everything, You pull over, and you get out, and time is slow. And all of a sudden, you can experience the smell of the fresh air, and all of a sudden you can hear the birds chirping. And you look around, and you can see the water now, lively up close, instead of from the highway as a river. You can see the shore, you can see the insects moving around, you can see the color of the water, you can see everything in an immense experience, an immense detail. And then you get back in your car and you're like, off you go again. You see, this is what you're doing. We experience life. Okay? This is what you're doing. You're just experiencing life. The idea is to teach yourself to slow. When you slow down, what was a blur all of a sudden goes and it solidifies, and all of a sudden you see things you've never seen before. Whether they be dimensional, spiritual, what you experience, what you feel, whatever, you've slowed time and space down to a point where you can observe this entire crystallization of the giant monument in details you could never experience before. Questions?
So you're saying basically just to slow, because we're always going 85 miles an hour in all our daily life and everything, it's just slow ourselves down to a point.
It's part of awareness. You're going to learn a lot of similar stuff to this, but yes, it's exactly that. So, that's something that you have to keep in mind, that as you solidify from being a being that's constantly at this vibration, if you force yourself, if you willfully turn inwards, this is the big secret, if you willfully turn inwards, if you choose to take control, if you choose to take control of your awareness, then you are truly reaching awareness. You are truly on the path of enlightenment. When you do not think of these things, which is the easiest thing to do because the world controls us, we are constantly being hit by this vibration, boom, 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 which forces us to kind of be the way that we are, then you don't move forward. The idea is to turn inwards. The more that you turn inwards, it's like stocking chips, it's like stocking knowledge. You become aware of things that you were never aware of. But this is all about slowness. Slowness is actually faster than fast because you experience knowledge in greater detail. So if you experience knowledge when things are slower, don't you learn more? So the idea is to not let time and space of this frequency push you along. To slow time and space with your mind so that you can experience things that you were not aware of before. Does this make sense? And this is part of the teachings, this is part of the way of this knowledge. So by walking in this method, to attempt to walk dimensionally, you will probably have better success walking this way at night. You can even do this walking on a street. I mean, all of you guys have to have naturally stumbled across some of it a little. Walking at night, feeling at peace with yourself, not really scared, but just looking at the street lights and seeing the dark trees and stuff. I mean, I like it though. The darker the better, because to me, darkness is like a cloak. It's like something warm hiding you. You can look out, and nobody knows you're there if you want, and you can just kind of move stealthily, you know? Maybe you guys can relate to this more as from childhood and stuff, but the point is that there's this surrealness that I revel in, and the reveling is that when I walk down the street and there's no cars, and there's this like yellowish street light in the distance illuminating the street, and there's absolute silence. There is a certain feeling of expectation, like something could happen. Maybe there's a vampire, maybe there's a person or a murderer or something, but there's something that you sense is saying. And what you sense is really saying is there's a lot happening, you idiot. You just haven't turned that knob a little bit more to tune it in. And that's what you have to do. But expect nothing. This is, you're going to hear me say this all the time, and none of you guys will get this right. When you expect to see something, or you're anticipating to see something, you will see nothing. You have to be sincere in your heart. By just experiencing the environment, you will see or experience something. I had a student of mine recently, Frank, I don't know if he told you about it or not, he was walking home very late at night, and he was in a certain state of mind walking dimensionally, as I've taught him, and as he was walking dimensionally, he sensed something to his right. And he turned and he looked, and he seen. How did he describe?
A tentacle thing at the top of a wall or something retract.
Correct.
Something like that. Something of that nature came in over the wall. It was very, very solidified as physical. Not like an auratic energy type thing. Very, you know. Yeah, he was way. I mean, he was really dope in his.
He also had told me that he had seen what looked like a man with wings or something, or a griffin type being in the distance, and it realized that it could see him. Mm-hmm. Meaning the griffin realized that this human being, this mortal, could see him, which was abnormal. And then he quickly, you know, got scared and left. And of course, my student was like, you know, maybe I should go after it, but maybe it's not a good idea. And then he decided to kill it.
These things are already there, so they're going to message you. They're going to message you anyways, but what if they realize they're seeing
it? It doesn't necessarily mean they're going to mess with you. Sometimes dimensional beings are just can't see any human beings. That much of this reality they can't see, just some parts of it they can see. And that they don't see you, but the moment you can see them, it's like you materialize.
Whoa.
And then all of a sudden they can see you because you've connected on the same frequency. And maybe that's why they can. I mean, hypothetically, there's a lot of things we'll go into another time as to what's what and what's going on. But, you know, my favorite term for all of this is in the movie Interview with the Vampire. I'm always trying to figure out a way to explain to you what it is that I see or what I feel or what I experience. And it's one thing to try to describe these things to you, but, you know, I always like using TV because it gives you a whole other perspective. And one of the things that they happened on there is Louis, before he was bitten by Lestat was telling him, well, we don't see kind of the same way you do. We see reality much differently. And he couldn't understand that. And so at one point when Lestat finally got around to biting him and making him a vampire at dusk or whatever, they're in this graveyard, he bit him, and when he became a vampire, he like kind of came to his senses after he was bitten, and he opened his eyes and he looked around, and everything had life force. The leaves all had a shimmering array of darker tone colors, like life, but dim illumination. And the statue all of a sudden had like the stone became like skin in itself. Not the ice so much moving like they did on there, but the stone appeared almost like skin. And that things intensified, and he realized that the how a vampire scene was very differently than a human, and it's very much the same way that when you go to this level or to this dimensional level, you experience on such an intensified level that it's very much very different than how you perceive. I mean, everything's still the same structurally, but it takes on a whole different concept of dimension. I mean, you look at this and it's hard to experience it, but you see everything in this detail. But if I was to use the dimming of this light, if you look at your environment, it starts to change. But still, it's the same environment, it's the same walls, but it's taken on a whole different feeling. And the structural integrity begins to change. And now you guys are beginning to see what looks like static electricity in here, which is energy. And you still have, it's the same dimensions, it's just dark, okay? Well, it's the same thing with seeing the way that I see, is everything takes on an additive of dimension and space and contour and structure, and the walls themselves become energy. I mean,